Great to have you with us. Another edition of the Steve Peichel podcast. Rutgers at 5-5, but boy, I feel like we haven't seen them in forever. Matter of fact, since the last time we taped a Peichel podcast, haven't seen them. Last time I actually saw Coach was against Seton Hall at The Rock, and then, of course, COVID hit. So, Coach, I'll ask you as I always do, how are we doing?
Well, it's been an interesting couple weeks. It really has been, and we were kind of blessed for 2 years that we didn't go through a pause or a break in the action. So I guess I can't complain, but we hit pause and thankfully, you know, everyone feels fine. That's the good news, but you still have to go on a huge pause during the course of your season. And, you know, we're still in the middle of it and hoping to come out on the other end very shortly here. But yeah, rescheduling games, talking a lot to doctors, talking a lot about quarantines and dates, a lot of things that I didn't think I'd be talking about this year. Seems like last year all over again.
Yeah, it's like deja vu. And yet at the same time, it's different. You know, it almost seems like, this is not the right term to use, but it almost seemed like last year was easier because you had the kids basically isolated from the world. This is a different deal. And how difficult has this been comparatively to last year?
I mean, it's just been really difficult. I mean, anytime you're quarantining guys during, you know, Christmas break, you know, time where they usually spend with their families and, you know, you want them around people too. I mean, we went through a whole year last year. I don't think that was good for anybody. But you want everyone to be safe and healthy too. And we've put new protocols in too at Jersey Mike's Arena, you know, to bring fans back and to make sure they're safe too. So we had to go through some of that last week too, but you know, just difficult times. I feel bad for these kids. This isn't the experience that they signed up for. They worked really hard. Some guys are perfectly fine, but have to be quarantined. And I'm just, you know, I'm just thankful that they've grinded through it. We're kind of at the other end of this thing and hopefully we won't have any more pauses, but there's pauses going on everywhere. So, you know, I don't know how anyone's going to be able to navigate some of these obstacles that are down the road.
Yeah. Games being canceled, not just in college basketball, but the, you know, the NHL, the NFL has moved games. The NBA has postponed and moved games. It's been odd. As I said in the beginning, haven't seen you since the Seton Hall game. So as you've dealt with this, what has the team been doing to stay in shape as best they can? I know some of the guys have been under the weather like everybody has. How have you been able to deal with that?
I mean, that's difficult. When you're dealing with quarantines, there's really not a lot you can do, you know, as a program with your guys. The other guys, just really encouraging them as much as they can to, you know, get out and stay in as good a shape as they could. And then there's also a group of the team that got to go home and enjoy, you know, Christmas with their family. So, you know, it's been some real positives for some of the guys. Other guys are just trying to keep them in their legs moving and keep their conditioning, because it, you know, it was a hard thing when you're used to doing something 2 hours a day for every day in the last 3 or 4 months, and then you just go from that to not doing any of that. So it's a real challenge. Dave Van Dyke has certainly helped a lot in that area, a lot of Zooms, so doing some Zoom workouts and those kind of things, but it's very difficult, you know, with what's going on in the current state of COVID.
This new edition of the Steve Peichel podcast. You mentioned Dave Van Dyke there. It's amazing, like, the way he has had to adjust what he does. What has impressed you about the way he has handled this? Because it seems like he just rolls with the punches and adjusts on the fly. And I know I'm kind of outside looking in, but from what I do see, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's as good as there is. And, you know, we've really had to learn how to do this for the last couple of years, too. You know, trying to accomplish, you know, your goal of keeping guys healthy and safe, yet make sure they're in the kind of conditioning that they need to be in to, you know, have you compete at this level. So it's really been a balancing act, to, you know, with each guy. He does a really good job of individually really working for with each and every player to make sure their needs are taken care of. And Rich, our trainer, does an unbelievable job too, because your job used to be just to tape ankles and make sure guys are feeling well. Now you got viruses that you're dealing with on a daily basis and testing that you're dealing with. And, you know, we had a bout of the flu, so, which has the exact same symptoms as COVID. And we kind of got through that. And then this round of, you know, COVID protocols that we're dealing with. So it's a lot, and you always got to be ready for what comes around the corner. And it's really hard to kind of write down your list of things to do that next day, because it always seems to be changing every day.
I can't imagine there's many positives you can take from this. And then we'll get to the basketball in just a minute. But the fact that you have had the time off, and a couple of guys had some bumps and bruises, has that at least allowed some of those guys to get to 100% in terms of the muscles and the joints and things of that nature?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, you got to look at all these, you know, you get a little break in the action, you get to reset. I mean, our guys really had a lot of schoolwork to do too the last couple of weeks. So they got an opportunity to tackle that and now have the basketball load on their shoulders. Some guys had injuries, and we had a lot of guys with nagging injuries. So hopefully, you know, some time off got to heal some of those kind of injuries too. You know, Gio had the hamstring, and Cliff has been dealing with some stuff too with his legs and his knees. And so you hope that they got a little free time and reset the button and get ready for the exciting new year and what comes down the road here, because we have a lot of season left and there's a lot of basketball yet to be played.
All right, let's talk about the schedule for a second, just in terms of the difficulty with the postponing and rescheduling. I know Shoes used to handle a lot of that. What goes into that, and how, again, I know I'm talking about a lot of difficulties, but how difficult has it been able to reschedule a couple? I know you canceled one, but being able to get those back on the board.
Yeah, we're still trying to reschedule that too, but, you know, you're dealing with a lot because you're dealing with your fans, you're dealing with television, obviously the other team. Coming up with common dates, coming up with times that would work for both groups too. So it's a zillion phone calls. Here's what it really is. And you start throwing dates out there and you kind of narrow it down. And then you're talking to the Big Ten office. And then you're obviously you have women's schedule too, that you have to take into consideration too, because they have games scheduled too. So you got just a lot of phone calls, and it's very difficult. And, you know, when you cancel a game, everyone wants to know, well, what's the game plan to, you know, are we rescheduling? Or are we, well, you know, we just found out we were canceling it 5 minutes ago. And now we got to come up with a common date that everyone agrees upon. And that takes time and stuff. So we're still looking to reschedule the Rider game too. I'm thankful Maine was great. It worked with us in Central Connecticut. Worked with us and that we'll play those two games before we get back into league play with the Michigan game. So I'm thankful that they were able to do that, because a lot of it lands on their shoulders too with opening up dates.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to the schedule and the games that are ahead in terms of Maine, Central Connecticut State, like Coach just mentioned, also Michigan, Nebraska. I think those are the four that you guys hopefully will play before we do this again. So quick break. Pikel podcast coming right back on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Happy holidays. Great to have you with us on another edition of the Pikel podcast. Rutgers going to restart their schedule this Thursday. We are taping this on Monday, December 27th, while on Thursday the 30th, they have rescheduled their game against Maine at 1 p.m. You know, I always ask you, especially when a season starts, what do you expect the first few minutes, first half? Does this almost, in a weird way, I know you have breaks around the holidays anyhow, but does this almost feel like a restart of some sorts because of what you've done?
Yeah, I mean, we're really talking about, you know, getting back to basics right here. I mean, I've never had this kind of a break with any team that I've ever coached. You know, 2 days off, 3 days off, it's kind of the norm, but we're going day 13, day 14 now. You know, so this is a little bit different. You know, I'm just thankful for Dave Van Dyke, and I'm very hopeful to get the guys back in the gym today to hope their conditioning stayed at a good level. And then we got to get back to some basics, because when you're ever away from something for that many days, you got to go back and fall on your cores. And we don't have a lot of days either to prepare for either of these games. You know, I did not want to go into the Michigan game without having played a game either prior. So it'll be a good opportunity. We'll see who's back on the roster for the first game, because that's part of what we're going through right now, figuring out the dates that everyone's going to be cleared, you know, to play. So we'll have some new changes. Hopefully guys will get some opportunities that maybe haven't gotten the kind of opportunity that they would like. We'll have an opportunity to play in these games, and hopefully we can play well and build off that as we move back into league play.
Let me ask you this, in terms of the conditioning, how much can you take from what you see? I know the games are different, but how much can you take from what you see in practice in terms of where the kids are health-wise and conditioning?
Yeah, I mean, again, I have no experience with 13, 14 day breaks. So I don't really know what to expect. It's tough when you come back from Christmas anyways, 2 or 3 days. You got to kind of, I always say, you got to run the Christmas cookies out of them, you know, to get them back into that conditioning. But we're not going to have that luxury this time. You know, today we're getting them back in here for an hour just to get their bodies moving again. I got to be really careful with going too long with games coming up in such a short period of time. So this has been a little bit unique. And Dave Van Dyke and I have had many conversations over the last 10 days about how we're going to do this, but we're going to gradually, you know, get them back to the basketball shape that we know that we need to be in. And hopefully if you do too much too here, you end up having setbacks too with guys with injuries and what have you. So got to be real smart here moving forward, Jerry.
It is what it is, of course. Another edition of the Pikel podcast in terms of scheduling. You want these games to be played. So we're talking about conditioning. You've got two games within the span of 3 days, I suppose. You got Thursday, Saturday, really 2 days, I guess, Maine and then Central Connecticut State. As a coach, as you're putting together a game plan, you've already talked about it. You're not sure who will be available, when they'll be available, who clears. So how in the world do you actually put together a game plan not knowing what your personnel will be?
Yeah, I mean, you just really have to start focusing on the game plan for the game, not as much in your personnel. You know, the things that we have to do, you know, to win, you know, the game against Maine and the game against Central Connecticut. And so we're really focused on that right now. Today we'll see with practice. We're also waiting on testing too to come back. So you don't know what that'll return to. So you got a lot of things that you're deciding between. But it's more your system and your game plan for the game to win. And then you got to get that through the guys in a couple of days. Then by tip off on that game day, we'll probably know who we're going to have for personnel.
All right. So Rutgers at home has been obviously the big one over Purdue. We know you've got the next four, I believe it is, at home with Maine, Central Connecticut State, Michigan, Nebraska. You already alluded to it, the different protocols that have been put into place, or guidelines, I should say, in terms of coming into the building. As you look back now to that Purdue game and the way the crowd has been, do you feel like, it's a stupid question, I know, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you feel like that energy returned instantly, or do you feel like you needed a win like you got at Purdue to kind of get that back to pre-pandemic levels?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I think we have the best fans going. They're great. I think, you know, even with the new protocol, which is just to keep everybody safe, I want them to come out and be loud. We need to continue to make this a tough venue to play, because as you know, you were on the road with us at Illinois. These are tough places to go to. So we need Jersey Mike's to be the same advantage for us. And we're looking forward to getting people back in the stands. And if this is what we have to do now, wear masks, show vaccine cards, you know, the alternative was last year, and you know, you lived it and I lived it. It wasn't anything any of us want to go back to. So I'm thankful that the new protocols are in place, and hopefully it'll keep everybody safe, but also keeps people in the building, see some great basketball as we always play in our league.
And I agree. I never want to see it again. And I will tell you, even as just someone announcing the game, and I couldn't imagine being on the floor, especially not that DePaul was, you know, terribly loud, but it was still a road game with people. Even just as an announcer, it was weird getting back into that routine and seeing people and hearing the noise and seeing the signs. I can only imagine what it was like, you know, being on the court for these guys. So kind of fun stuff for sure. We're going to take a quick break. Pikel podcast continues in a moment. On the other side, I have a couple of generic basketball questions I'd like to ask Coach about where we are in the game today. Also a look ahead to Michigan and Nebraska as well. Pikel podcast returns in a moment on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. All right, welcome back. The Steve Pikel podcast. Rutgers set to get back in action this week as they take on Maine on Thursday at Jersey Mike's Arena at 1 p.m. Then a quick turnaround on Saturday to play Central Connecticut State at 5 p.m. Before we get into the Big Ten schedule and the way it starts against Michigan and Nebraska, I've been watching a lot of college basketball, as you can imagine, but I also watched Knicks and who was it? The Wizards on Thursday or Friday, whatever. And the 3-point shot, whether it's college basketball or the NBA, has become so valuable and so important. Is there a line to you as a not as a basketball coach, but as a basketball fan, where it's too much? And I guess what I'm going to ask you about kind of goes to Nebraska. They got McGowans and Tominaga, if I'm pronouncing his name properly. In 12 games, they've attempted 135 threes. And I was watching that Nick Wizard game. There were 53 shot in like the first half. Do you as a basketball fan like it, or you just live with it?
You know, I really, you know, I'm old school too on some of this, you know, the mid-range game and the guys I grew up with, you know, still valuable shots and real estate. But I think, you know, it's a copycat world, and the NBA is dunks or threes. And, you know, and when teams like Golden State Warriors win national championships, and that's how they do it around that, you know, everyone kind of takes a look-see at that and tries to, you know, emulate, you know, those kind of results. So I'm still one of those guys. A good shot is a good shot for different players at different places on the floor. And I tend to believe, too, the more you get in the paint, the better your results are going to be, too. But statistics say threes or dunks, you know. And I guess in the NBA world, they probably can get a lot more dunks than we can in the college level, and they can make a lot more threes. So maybe I would look at it a little differently if I was an NBA coach. But I still believe in, you know, there are good shots on a lot of other places on the floor. And I enjoy guys getting to those areas where they can make the most shots. And sometimes that isn't three-point land or dunks.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, when you're looking, you mentioned the Warriors, which is where what I was going to ask you about. Like, they make it look easy. The problem is a lot of these other teams don't do it like them. And it can actually look like lazy basketball. But that's the NBA. That's another question and another conversation for another time. In terms of playing in the paint, before we move on, also critical, because isn't that really where you draw most of your fouls and get yourself to the free throw line, to where you can score, you know, with the clock stopped and doing things of that nature?
I mean, it helps your defense the most too. It really does, because you're not in transition defense. So whenever you can get the ball into the paint area, get fouled, get to the free throw line, you know, you're not in transition defense. It helps your defensive numbers, but you know, very important. If you look at basketball now, you know, teams that get to the free throw line win the most. I mean, it's that's a fact too. Everyone will talk about threes and dunks, but teams that get to the free throw line usually are teams that win.
Yeah, and we've seen that. And you guys actually have done, I know there was a couple of games there where there was lopsided in the wrong direction, but the last few games you guys have done a very good job about doing that. All right, let's get to the upcoming schedule. We already talked about Maine and Central Connecticut State. I guess just before we move on to Michigan, what types of styles are we looking at? Is this the 1-2 punch where you're getting ready for the Big Ten schedule and that they're completely different and you got to turn around quickly? Or is this just about however they play, whatever, we need to get on the floor and play some games?
Yeah, I mean, we need to get on the floor, you know, and play some games, especially after this long break. Obviously, when you get in the league play, all the teams are very different how they play. You just said, you know, Fred was an NBA guy. They have very good guards. They take a ton of threes. They play, you know, quick pace, a lot like NBA teams. And then obviously Michigan has been a team that we've never beaten. So they have tremendous size. First and foremost up front. And Juwan Howard does a great job. He's as good a coach as there is, you know, too, in the country. And they got terrific, talk about five-star recruits and five-star players, if as many as anybody in our conference. So, you know, different styles we got to get ready for. And, you know, both the main and the central game give us a little bit of something that will help us, hopefully, in the Michigan and the Nebraska game. And that's why the non-conference games are so important for you, too.
You mentioned Michigan, having not beat them yet. You accomplished something against Purdue, being a number one team for the first time in forever. You realize how many firsts that you have crossed off this list. And I go back to when you started and it was like, all right, first team to do this, first Rutgers team to do that. You ain't got many left. I mean, you've got clearly the Big Ten championship and all sorts of things like that. But the progress you have made really is remarkable to me. And this is the last one. We're going to get it on January 4th for sure, because they've been tough. When you look at them, Hunter Dickinson obviously is the key. Is it Eli Brooks? Is it pick your poison? Like, when you look at that team from afar and you're still a week out, what are your thoughts about them as a team through, I think it's 11 games so far?
I mean, you know, first and foremost, Michigan's has been a great program, you know, so you could pick this individual players out that are all league guys that are really good, but Juwan Howard's a really good coach. When I first took over, John Beilein had them in the national championship game. But as a program, Michigan's always, you know, well-coached with talented guys. And this is no different of a team. And, you know, when I first took on the job, I looked at all those things that we hadn't done and the challenges that were ahead of us. And I'm just thankful my staff and the guys have plugged away and we've been able to check some of those things off the list, but we certainly haven't done that. And you know, it's not going to be easy because they're a team that doesn't beat themselves either. They always play well and they're going to be obviously well coached. They play really good defense. He's a really good offensive coach too. And they run a lot of different stuff. They got a lot of different weapons, you know, on the floor. So it's another challenge, but every now and then when I have free time, I look back on some of the things that we've done with beating ranked teams and going on the road and winning games and postseason bids and, you know, some of the stuff that we've done. And I'm excited about that, along with having great kids that are graduating and doing what they need to do off the court too. So, you know, proud of that, but don't have a lot of time to think about any of those things. Got a lot more to do.
That's all right. I'll think about them for you. All right. One final break. When we come back, we go to the Twitterverse. Ask Coach. I got a couple of questions for you from fans as well. It is the Peichel Podcast. Back in a moment on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Final segment of the Peichel Podcast. Rutgers will be at home to take on Maine, Jersey Mike's Arena on Thursday, December 30th at 1 p.m. Saturday against Central Connecticut State at 5 p.m. And then on the 4th at home against Michigan at 7. And then they get a afternoon game against Nebraska at 2 p.m. on January 8th. All right, Mike, 1-6-4 are you? Okay. He would like to know, COVID aside, what has been your biggest challenge with this team so far in the short part of the season?
I mean, we've had a lot of challenges in a lot of ways. Consistency being the number one thing. Health, obviously, started off the year with Watt missing games. Obviously, Geo Baker. You know, I only have like 4 or 5 experienced guys, and kind of need those guys to be healthy. But I would say consistency. You know, we haven't consistently defended. We've shown signs of being really good offensively. But haven't done that consistently. And a lot of it too, we're starting to go on the road with the young team too. So we got to kind of figure that stuff out too. But, you know, I really like this team, Jared. I've said this all along, and we still have a lot of basketball left. I do remind people we were 7-6 last year when we started out the season. No one remembers that when you beat Clemson in the NCAA tournament. But we had our ups and downs at this time last year too. So hopefully we can learn from those things and just keep moving and become more consistent, you know, basketball program. And we've shown we can beat the number one team in the country. So when we're at our best, we can play with anybody. And we've shown other signs where we've struggled.
But isn't that consistency is an interesting thing because you've got 30 plus games. And I don't know that there's really many teams aside from the ones that go 30-0, you know, 30-1, 30-2, whatever, that have that for a full season. As you say, 7-6 last year, isn't it about, yes, you have to win games, of course, along the way for sure, but isn't it about building to where you're playing your best basketball in February and March that you're ready to make the run?
Well, I mean, that's a big part of the, you know, the journey too. You really got to learn a lot about your team. You know, we're playing some guys for the first time. We, you know, inserted Mawat Mag in the starting lineup and gave us some tremendous energy. Jaden Jones, a young guy learning and playing some valuable time, who's going to be a really good player. And Cliff is getting, you know, all the minutes now as opposed to being, you know, a backup. So you got a lot of guys in some new roles. And then obviously too, hopefully you get through some of these injuries too, because not having Geo available for every game is not a good recipe, you know, for a young team. So you really hope you learn from a lot of these things. Guys get different opportunities and they just keep getting better. And that's one thing we've done a really good job of over the last 5 years. You guys, you know, our program just continues to get better. And I know this group will too. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the challenges that are ahead of us and hopefully being able to learn from all the things we learned in the first 10 games and taking that with us as we move forward.
All right. Last one for you from Barb. And she just would like to know, through the first 10 games and through the summer and the fall, who's the most improved player at this point?
Well, I tell you, we got a lot of them, but I would think you would say Cliff, you know, if you really look at things and his production and where it's gone. And You know, Caleb McConnell certainly as of recently has really turned the corner too with what he's done for us too here. But I like to think they've all improved. Mawat Mag certainly has shown signs. Jaden Jones has got a chance. I like the addition of Jalen Miller, you know, and what he's brought, you know, to us. But, you know, everyone's kind of improved and they got to continue moving forward. Dean Reber, before this pause, was having some of his best practices. Same with Oscar Palmquist. So I'm hoping that they can come back to that same form that they showed before the pause. So looking forward to everyone improving, but those guys in particular right now kind of jump out.
All right, Coach, have enjoyed it. Good luck on Thursday. You got a big week ahead as you guys get back on the floor. Jersey Mike's Arena Thursday, December 30th against Maine at 1 p.m. We will do this again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for your time and happy holidays.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jerry. Happy holidays to everyone.